この人。I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed. I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed. I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio. WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and on the web at WBAI.org.
You can touch it.
Nights on the air.
Night Shift.
It's in the air.
It's larger than air. Midnight till, I don't know, 3 a.m.
Here. Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
Where life is like science fiction.
And in your world and in mine.
This is Comm Central. Channel open for Executive Order AUC-3423.
Listen to this voice.
How's it feel?
I have no idea.
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea.
Hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea.
Night Shift. I'm talking about it, and I have no idea.
I think there's no place to hide.
Night Shift, it's inside me.
Night Shift, for professional use only. Open your mind.
I think there's no place to hide.
One of the things that breaks me up when I go to a jazz club, I go to a jazz club first to hear the music, but second of all, and this is a very important reason, to dig the people. The people in jazz nightclubs are the funniest.
People. The 70 billion people of Earth, where are they hiding? Thank you. Now, where are my people?
Tune to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. The name of the show?
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
The feeling you're going to have. Byron Saunders.
Mike. Sergeant.
Byron Saunders, can you believe that Elena is actually here?
Hooray for me.
Ecstatic.
Are you ecstatic?
I truly am. I mean,
I am too.
Elena, I have to say this. I've been doing this show for over 20 years.
And she's never been on time.
That's not true.
And there's some people who, when I'm on the show with,
yes.
I have such a pleasure working with.
Mm.
You know, and it's and I just realized
just not Elena.
This is called gaslighting.
Right,
this is called gaslighting.
It just dawned on me that I'm like, I like doing this show with Elena.
I think that's a backhanded compliment.
No, think about this.
Now I'm thinking, since I have to be here for 3 hours, all 3 hours.
For all of a sudden, right? It's just
but only in 2 hours and 40 minutes now.
Elena, I have a video, an audio of you and I dancing.
Yes, it's on the Night Shift Facebook page.
Yes.
Well, I do want to say this. Okay, we do have a jam-packed show. I have quite a lot of Life is Like Science
Wakanda.
Fiction. Just stop yourself. We're right on the eve of a cultural phenomenon,
yes,
Black Panther. Ooh, I'm going to play my interview with Ruth Carter.
Oh, by the way.
Who's the costume designer for that.
I heard your interview.
With Ruth Carter?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
I'm
going to play. It's only a few minutes.
Ruth is a friend.
Ruth is a friend.
You said,
yes, she was Hampton. That's where I met her, Hampton University. Anyway, so we're on the eve of a cultural phenomenon, which obviously has deep resonation for me because this was my dream 25 years ago. But I want to say this, that we are in the middle of our marathon. We are in our marathon. And you know what we give away here? We have the DGN.
We give away a present.
And you have two things you can do. Now, the edict for tonight's show is that we have to get 20, or we have to get 10 BAI buddies.
Oh, we got, might as well get started right now.
Yes, we should.
Oh, my goodness.
And a BAI buddy, and basically that means you're paying,
it's not
like
what you think,
$10 a month to support WBAI, and then it's money we can count on. You know, if we get enough BAI buddies, we really won't even have to do fundraising anymore. You can go on the website right now at give2WBAI. That's the number 2, give2WBAI, and you can make a pledge. Now, if we get 10 during the show, won't even have to mention it anymore.
Well, let's go after
I'd love to go after it right now.
516-620-3602.
Now,
that was so easy.
You can make
easy.
A pledge. You can become a BAI buddy if you call.
Absolutely.
You can do that too. Now, if you're liking the music, of course, what we call DGM.
And you will like it.
Stands for Damn Good Music. Yeah. If you're liking that, we have a CD, Byron. I have 88 tracks.
Oh.
88
no tracks.
That's right. 88 tracks. Over 6.5 hours of music. Okay. And this is how you can get it. Byron, what's the phone number you call?
516-620-3602.
Now, when you call, you say, hey, I want my DGM, the Winter 2018 DGM. It's a $35 pledge. If you go to the WBAI website, you can make a pledge there. You can go to give2WBAI. You can find the Night Shift DGM. 2018 winter 2018 DGM. As a matter of fact, while we're sitting here, I'm going to actually put it on the Facebook page, because on the Facebook page, some of the stories we're going to cover, there's a visual to it. Some of them you have to see the visual. Some of them I dare you to see the visual. Yeah. But we're going to cover those stories. And Elena, if you remember, Byron, you remember in the early days of Elena? You weren't here for the early days. You weren't here for the earlier. You came in later on.
Yeah.
But Elena was the animal girl.
Oh.
Yes.
Animals.
I used to give her all the animal stories. And so I have animal stories for Elena.
Nice.
The return of Animal Girl. Yes.
Oh. Animals doing special things.
Well, you know, there it is.
With animals.
Animals.
So, Byron. $35 pledge, and we send you the CD free with 88 tracks, over 6.5 hours of music, DGM, or more importantly, become a WBAI buddy. Because like I said, the whole concept behind the buddy is that you're a member. You know, for a year you're committing to $10 a month, which is literally nothing, Byron. You know, you could go back and forth to work twice and spend $10. So $10 a month to become a WBAI buddy. In my opinion, that is really...
That's incredible.
It's a $10 buddy.
That's nothing. So,
that's like being your better PayPal.
Yes. And so I would say it's like a luxury tax you're paying for the luxury of having public radio in your life.
516-620-3602. We're going after the first two. Come on now. Who wants to be the
first
two?
Who wants to be the first two?
516.
Now, if you want the DGM, you want this music. You want to feel this at home. You want to feel this when you're walking. When you feel this when you're laying down. You want to feel this with your friends. With your enemies. 516-620-3602. DGM.
Pick up the phone. Make your pledge right now. $35.
Winter, 2018. You want this.
516-620-3602.
You need music that will change your... We'll be right back. Byron Saunders.
Mike Sargent. I'm glad to be back in the saddle.
And you never actually met Mike from Jersey.
I do believe...
Mike from Jersey.
Have we never met?
Have you ever met Byron?
Of course I've met Byron. I've met Byron thousands of times.
He's met you thousands of times, Byron. All right,
I remember.
Well, Elena never met Mike from Jersey.
Yeah, I told you.
That's true.
Elena never met Mike from Jersey. I know. So this is the Mike and Elena look at each other.
Gazingly.
From across the room.
This is gazing music.
This is the gazing.
I'm digging Mike in that sexy sweater.
Thank you.
Unlike you, Mike.
I'm not wearing a sexy sweater.
This is my Michael Douglas Basic Instinct sweater.
Elena's
I'm crossing my legs on that one.
Elena's going to do your...
I do have my knife.
All right. Well, you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio. And when we say listener-sponsored...
And I do have a kitty.
That basically means... you, the listener, and sponsor is basically us asking you to support us.
Support us.
Become a BAI buddy. Do it during the show. Let us go out with a bang. This is our third week in the marathon. I don't know if we've gotten 10 BAI buddies. I know we've definitely sold some DGM. Or I shouldn't say sold, but we've had pledges for the DGM, which is a great thing. But everything you're hearing, everything you'll hear tonight... is from that CD. So keep that in mind. All these moods, the Elena gazing music.
Well, that's not on yet. We'll be next.
The Byron on the beach music.
With the pina colada.
With the pina colada.
You almost said something else.
That's on here.
No, he didn't. I'm a Caparena man myself.
No, he didn't, Elena. That's what you hear.
He did.
And Mike from Jersey, just so you know,
it is scientific.
It was Jeff who coined the term for Elena, that Elena is sex positive. So, anytime anything that could remotely, in any way, refer to sex, Elena jumps on. And pardon the pun there.
Anything that moves. That's my new thing, my resolution for this year. I only jump on things that move, like this music. Moves me. I jump on it.
Mike, this is 6 hours of DGM?
This is 6.5 hours, almost 7 hours of DGM. And you were here for the first week of the DGM when we were offering this, and I only played a little bit of it because it's only a 3-hour show and we were talking.
That was pretty amazing show, by the
way. Yeah, you enjoyed that?
I did, yes.
Yes. Well, I have stories that will blow your mind, that it'll just blow your mind. But Byron?
Mike? Yes. Mr. Sergeant?
Why are you looking at sales? What do they call those things?
Circulars.
Why are you looking at circulars, Byron?
Well, I was just...
Byron is trying to purchase a yacht while he's listening to this music. Oh,
so yes, he's looking at his yacht circular while he's on the air here.
With my bow tie.
Anyway.
Can I trade my bow tie?
Shall I get a
30? Like I said, you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio.
How big is your boat?
WBAI. And you, the listener, when we say listener-sponsored, that's really what we're looking for you to do. So sponsor us. Give to WBAI.org. If you go to that site right now, which is where I'm going right now, and I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. I'm going to put a link on our page so that you can just go to the Facebook page, NITESHIFT, where I have visuals for some of the stories tonight. And you can give anything. You can give a $5 donation. And as Mike from Jersey learned 2 weeks ago, it's tax deductible.
That's right.
Right.
A tax deductible. Come on.
You
can support
that.
I can't.
Blows my mind.
I can't see how you can do it.
516-620-3602. Make that pledge right now. Come on now. I see the phones ringing. They're lighting
up. They're going.
They're lighting up. 516-620-3602. Come on. We need two right now.
You have to be quick.
Looking for
two. If you want to be the top five.
There you go.
I'm going to put the BAI buddy on the...
Oh,
if you go to give2wbai.org, the BAI buddy, right there in upper left-hand corner, it's right there. It says WBAI buddy, monthly donation. Just click on that.
Right.
And there you are. You can do it on your phone.
That's right.
And you're done.
And you would send
it. And you're done. You can sit back, guilt-free, and listen and enjoy and laugh. And know that you've pledged, and that you're a member, and that you support the WBAI.
And you send them DGM like immediately, right?
Immediately. It's all right. I left it last 2 weeks ago. I left the CD. They're ready. They've already burned them. They're ready to go. They'll go right out the door. Yes. Now, this is the hypnotic music, Byron. This music will take you somewhere.
They saw something.
But I want you to close your eyes.
Okay.
And think about how important Night Shift is to you.
I'm thinking! Mr. Sergeant. Yes, how are you, sir? You know, it's nice to be back.
I was on
phone last time.
You were on the phone 2 weeks ago. Yeah, yes, you were.
Oh, you got banished?
Well, by the way, Byron, I played that show twice.
That's great.
Last week's show was recording.
But I had a lot of fun.
Did you have a lot of fun?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. You increased my dosage that night of Night Shift, and so it kind of helped get my flu.
It's the shiny music.
I can't imagine just what things would be like the next 10 or 15 years. Some things seem a long time ago. I remember we were very happy together.
Thank you.
see, you even get the cool art. Do you see, Byron? Show Byron the DGM
this
art.
Is pretty
you
good. See,
you like the DGM art there?
Oh, my, yes.
For the winter
very
DGM.
Nice. Mike designs
that,
the art.
That's right. I designed the art. That's right, the covers.
In addition to
yes,
six CD. And a half hours of
yes.
amazing DGM,
yes,
you get
yes
a membership to one of the greatest,
the bastion of free speech,
WBAI
bastion,
for an entire year.
Yes,
and you get original artwork.
That's right.
For DGM.
You can download it right now.
It is amazing.
You can download it right now.
This is gallery.
You can get the artwork before the music.
Before the music, and that way, when you bring it into your iTunes, you can highlight everything. Highlight everything. Go to Get Info, and then add artwork, and then you can put the artwork, and then you can have like a playlist in your iTunes with the DGM, and you could be totally hooked up.
Mike from Jersey, where would you be on some music like this?
Would it be on music? What were we talking about?
When you hear music like this,
I want to hear music like this. Well, first of all, I'll tell you what I want to do when I hear it. I want to listen to the entire 6 hours straight. I don't want to take a break.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Because what's the point, you know?
That's right.
I just want to start track one and then go to, what is it, like 500?
88 tracks.
Wow.
88
tracks. But 500 is close.
Yeah, listen, it's
88 is my lucky number. I want to do all 88.
500 minutes. All right, you know what I'm about to do? I'm about on the Facebook page, underneath the artwork, I'm going to put the link right to it. So you can just go to the Facebook page, Night Shift, NITESHIFT, and you'll be able to make your pledge right there. I've already put the BAI Buddy pledge right up there on the Facebook page.
Okay? Exactly. So it's so simple.
Now I'm going to put how you can get the DGM. Just the link. All you have to do is click on the link, okay? How much easier does it have to get than that?
It's very user-friendly.
That's
why?
Right.
Because it's
there. It is.
B-A-I.
It's there.
It's
DGM.
Nice.
You go there right now. Go to the page. Go right now. Facebook. NITESHIFT. You don't have to have an account, all right, to do it.
Just right where you want to go.
All right, but I have to tell you, Byron, I have to get into some of these stories because it's just too much. Like, what's happening in the world?
My goodness, yes.
But I do want to talk about now just a little bit because, you know, we'll have an in-depth after it's been out a couple weeks and we can talk about Black Panther. For you, Byron, Mr. Saunders.
Yes, sir.
Briefly.
Yes, sir.
Okay, because we are concentrating on trying to get people to pledge
during
the show, but... What did you think of Black Panther?
Yes.
And what did it mean for you? Because my take on it,
yes.
it, just to preface this, to say that Black Panther is a great film, but it's more than the sum of its parts.
It is.
It is a cultural phenomenon for a number of reasons.
It is. Indeed.
So go ahead. What did it mean to you, Byron?
Having been a person who came through the Afrocentric, I'm black and I'm proud, power to the people, growing up as my youth and acknowledging
You were a teenager in the 60s.
That's right.
Dude, like wow.
Byron, can I ask you?
I can't even imagine that.
Were you aware of the comic book at the time and did it mean anything to you or resonate in any way?
I started off with X-Men.
Right.
And early 60s.
So, and I had a dear friend whose name was Carl Craig, and Carl could make little clay models of the Marvel comic cartoon characters.
That's kind
of
cool.
And it was he had a whole set of X-Men. Yes, that little miniature clay figures that he made himself, crafted them.
Where is he today?
I have no idea.
What else does he do by himself?
I don't know, but I know it was an incredible talent to be able to execute that. And so, but for me, comic books, I had Thor. I remember Galactica, the original
Galactus.
Tony Stark was always my man.
Yeah.
Iron Man.
So, I mean, and we were going through that period of the Marvel and DC comics, and they were the real rivals of the genre that were creating superheroes. And so Stan Lee and company took to a kind of a Grecian gods, Thor, you know, the whole thing, and it worked. It made it classic.
Sorry, so back to the movie now.
So back to the movie.
What did it mean to you? Did you like it? What did you think of it, and what did it mean to you?
Fast forward.
You've given me context.
That's right. Fast forward to Black Panther. I am a true believer that we have a mode of fantasies and whimsical places that the movie industry has never seen from our perspective. And when I say that, I'm speaking from a Afrocentric diaspora perspective, because it is a different philosophy. And it's like all philosophies have some amazing truths, but this one is very much from an African's perspective. And being an African American, I am so proud of the effort. I am so happy that the storyline creates a sense of appreciation about life. So it's just not about killing and just
it's a purpose.
It's purpose, and it's understanding the essence of what it means and why forgiveness is impossible. Because think about it. When we were put here by whoever, wouldn't you think the main purpose of our being together was supposed to be conversations from friends, between friends? Think about that. Why we have to fight each other? We can break bread. This movie does that. You can forgive people in your own tribe for making mistakes, because it's part of what the whole essence is. Black Panther is people are coming to the film dressed in, like, it's, you know how Comic-Con and creates sci-fi?
No, Byron, I know all that. I want to know you, Byron. I know all the coverage.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. I appreciated its fantasy. I appreciate the power of its fantasy, because it says something from a different perspective, that you can achieve peace without having to destroy everything. And that's a good theme. And you're going to see it elevate people, African Americans in particular, whether those from the African diaspora, and even those that are, there are some white people from the African diaspora, and we're seeing it. We saw it in this movie, but it wasn't the feature. But the whole essence of the film was made me feel good as a black man.
It made you feel good as a black man. Okay.
I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining. And what's really important to understand is that what makes it even more entertaining is that the special effects were high tech. The concept is high tech. Your perspective of Africa will elevate from that stereotypical hut with the dust and the sand, and, you know,
it's the most technologically advanced.
That's right,
place
mindscapes
on Earth.
That's right, mindscapes and concept that really challenge you to really enjoy not only the cultural aspects of it, but enjoy the sci-fi aspects of it as part of a power.
This is what you felt.
This is what I felt.
I'm with you. Okay. Now, Mike from Jersey. Okay, yes. As a non-black, you know, you've seen the movie. You're a comic book fan, and you know you're not a white person, so you know you have the perspective of a person who's not necessarily, identify with every other hero that's been out there, because you got a little something something.
Yes.
So, what did the movie mean to you? What did you think of the movie, just as a movie, and what did it mean to you, if anything, beyond being
I thought
a movie?
That it was clever in a few ways. I've been watching all the Marvel movies, but when you go into the film...
By the way, what are you, just so people know? What are you? What the hell are you?
I'm a European Caucasian.
European Caucasian. So
by way
of heritage?
Spain. So, Spain.
Spain.
Spain. Spain, so and Spain. Armenia.
You're Spanish from Europe.
Yes, correct.
Right, so you're a little
I'm one generation American, so yes.
One generation American. Okay, all right. You got a little something.
He, by the way, is a person
he's
of color.
He's an olive.
He's a person of color.
Yes.
He's a person of color. He's olive color. Maybe. Yes,
like
I'm with that. I'm with it. But I mean, just, you know, I just want to know if, you know, I don't know. You got to give context.
I've seen it at
give
party
him context.
Barn.
Byron had an afro in the 60s. He's first generation European from Spain. So, context.
Yes.
So, talk to me.
So, you go into, you don't. You even if you have seen all the Marvel movies, you don't. When you, as soon as the story starts, you just approach it from the perspective of that movie, and you ignore everything else, and you're just focused on the film. And then the film begins with an exposition about Wakanda and this whole, and you're sucked in, and it's like, okay, I got it. And it was just an amazing experience. And I also thought about all the young boys or girls of color that would be watching this and seeing this character on screen. Imagine remembering myself as a kid seeing Star Wars and thinking about these kids seeing this character and saying, yes, both powerful male and female
yes, that could be
characters.
Me.
Exactly.
So when that's what you felt in terms of. So you enjoyed the movie
yes.
As a Marvel movie, but you were also
I thought
conscious.
The Prince, the King, was an interesting. There's a lot of interesting characters that had a lot of interesting things to say about race in America as well as Africa and how it's perceived everywhere else. The only thing that I want to say it bothered me, but it's sort of the most benevolent character in the entire story, who is Black Panther, is a king, is a sort of positive dictator, if you will.
Okay, well, that's what it is to be a king. I mean, that's what yes. a king is, a king. So, all right. Do you want to hear my thoughts, Brian?
I do indeed.
Well, I will give my own context. My own context is not just for me as someone who envisioned a world of entertainment where we could have a black lead character and primarily black characters from the diaspora, African Americans and Africans and West Indians and all of that, as you well know, Byron. And when I did the James Scott Project back in the early 90s, it wasn't called Afrofuturism. It was called Black Science Fiction.
Yes.
You know, there are only a handful of us.
Yes.
Now it's a huge genre. Yes. There are a lot of people who've never even heard of Afrofuturism. They never even heard the term. I've introduced a number of
right.
you know, my Caucasian friends to the term. They're like, "What's Afro? What's that?" But
it's
what
genre?
It's a genre within science fiction. And what it is essentially in the simplest form is science fiction from the perspective of being from the African diaspora, you know, and taking a complete science fiction perspective on the world, which I do as a fan of science fiction. Every culture of man, of humanity, has some interesting aspects of their culture that sets them apart from their history, sets them apart uniquely from the other human beings. You know, that's what they contribute to the larger picture of humanity. So, you know, everybody's aware of what black people have been through. Everybody's aware, whether they acknowledge it, believe it, care, think they deserve it, don't. Everybody's aware. But, you know, science fiction is the most successful, watched, most money-making, all the top 30. It is the most entertaining form of storytelling on the planet. It is what human beings consume more than anything else. So its influence on humanity is gigantic. You know, from Star Trek and early phones looking like communicators to sometimes when you see a movie, that's all you ever know of a culture, what you saw in the movie. Right. So, that being said, giving that perspective, you know, I have to say, as much as I liked Black Panther, I'm aware of its power. I'm aware of how many layers are there. And what I am enjoying, among so many other things, because I could talk for an hour about this, but I'm not going to now, is that Afrofuturism has now been introduced to the general populace. And what they're enjoying is the great thing about science fiction and comedy is that you can talk about the human condition, which is what good science fiction does, without it being heavy-handed, without it being didactic, without it being preachy. You can say something. And to have black characters who are not just happen to be black, like so many science fiction films, they happen to be black, they happen to die, you know, but they happen to be black. These are characters who are proud of their heritage, even though it's a somewhat fantasy heritage or a fantasy vision of, you know, this African culture, it's still proud. They're proud of their culture. That's not something you see in science fiction, but not only are they proud, they are aware of the rest of black people on the planet. So if you've got this perspective on the world that imagine if, what if, which is what great science fiction does, what if there were a race of black people who were, none of them were colonized, and they had the greatest technology on the planet, like how would they see what we're doing, and what would be the conflicts in that society? It's a great science fiction premise. That being said, you know, our culture, you know, because we consume so much science fiction, we're ready to embrace another world. and we've seen nothing but post-apocalyptic, you know, views of the future, and they've taken over movies. But now we have a universe that we're all familiar with, and in that universe, as it's expanded, as you said earlier, the most technologically advanced culture on the planet in this billion-dollar universe are African people. It changes things. It changes for, especially like you said, for young people. It just changes your view on the possibilities, which is what science fiction should do. So, am I making sense, Byron Saunders?
Did
you stop listening? Check the box,
exactly.
Yes.
So, I do believe that we are all trying to find ways to understand who we are culturally.
Except Elena.
Yes, our message is in developing cultural aesthetics.
Who's our?
African American, let me just say African diaspora.
You know, our message. You're speaking for the people now.
Yes, the people.
Talk to me.
As a philosophy of life. You see, each continent has people that represent a successful manner of
each
thoughts.
On planet, like I was saying before, you with me?
I'm with you. Okay. And so the empires of Africa that established a certain philosophy of life had centuries of success. Now, they were flawed in every way. Every culture, every empire has flaws for which they will be failure. This one that we're in right now, considering the real life versus the virtual life, because let's face it, Wakanda is a science fiction story. But in creating the story,
it
has ethics and principles. And perhaps like when Star Trek and Star Wars hit our sci-fi industry, it gave us an opportunity to interject storylines based on human issues that help move the future forward. So we like Star Trek and its icon and Star Wars, what it has become, because we were all fed with a potential for the future. And every time Star Trek came out, it got better. To where now its essence of sci-fi has entertained us properly and well. Now, Black Panther comes with a cultural statement along with it from a place in Africa that could be a real place.
Not only that, but they also, not only do they talk about a country of people that were not oppressed, but they also had a choice to interact or not interact with the outside world. They had the choice, and they chose to stay hidden.
Okay.
To protect their...
Now, is like, that not
like
the same...
Like the Maskara.
Right, or like the...
That's Wonder Woman, the Maskara.
Like the movie that was... the one that Cameron made.
Which one?
Avatar. That's a planet.
Avatar.
That's
a
planet.
Yeah, but it's a culture. Avatar's storyline is about a culture that is fighting desperately to hold on to its indigenous concepts and ideas, and they're great people. See, every story has... I mean, if we go by reality...
Well, that's good. Good science fiction.
Yeah, that's good science fiction. Right. But now we're assigning science fiction to an assessment of life itself and what's going on, because question that we started off with was assessing the movie and the cultural... seeing how culture is
excelling. The cultural significance.
Significance,
yes.
That is propelling... A pride. It's a phenomenon, because Mike said we started off in assessing it as a phenomenon.
It is a phenomenon.
Cultural phenomenon. And we're only seeing the first weekend of it. There's a lot that I believe that's ongoing with respect to a film like this that can both do well financially, artistically, and it has created a new classic.
Well,
and there's a lot that's being put on a understanding of a culture in its entirety, and it shall be. And the movie is given an opportunity to create some very amazing political choices, social choices, that we are currently combating which that movie does appropriately well. That's what makes me again, proud of the movie
that's,
as well.
That's what I'm saying is makes good science fiction.
It's great stories.
In that respect, that's what we haven't seen.
Yes, we have not
seen We haven't seen Afrofuturism on screen. We haven't seen films that talk about not just what we're dealing with today, but just a perspective on the history that does exist from a future or a speculative viewpoint, which is what makes it speculative fiction. So, Byron Saunders.
Mike Sargent.
The phone number?
516-620-3602. Now, pick up the phone, make the call right now, and you're supporting WBAI 99.5 FM.
Elena, you have a story.
Men arrested after police discover cocaine haul stashed in, yes, fake buttocks.
Buttocks.
Fake buttocks. The two cushion-like implants, which were attached to swimming trunks, contained at least 5,000 individual portions of cocaine.
5,000? That's quite a fake ass.
Two men have been arrested after 2.2 pounds of cocaine were found in a pair of fake buttocks at Lisbon Airport. A Brazilian man carrying the two cushion-like implants, which were attached to a pair of swimming trunks, were detained by Portuguese anti-narcotics agents. Later, another man was arrested at the train station under suspicion of being due to receive the drugs. It is not yet known how police discovered the haul.
Excuse me. Hold on.
Like, sir, that's a white guy with a black guy's ass.
Let me feel your butt.
Come over here.
Yeah, sir, will you step over here? We got to pat you down. But why, sir? Because one side of your ass is hanging lower than the other one. It just doesn't look right. What are you carrying back there?
Exactly. Are you walking or twerking?
Yeah, right. What's up with you?
Or the thought could have been, or can I just touch your butt?
That's right.
And it did happen to be drugs.
That could be the song right there. Can I just touch your butt?
Mike, come over here.
The remix.
This dude's butt is shifting as he stands there. What's going on over there?
It's dripping out of the short shorts.
It's like a slinky going on over there.
Is that the whole story, Elena? Are they going to be prosecuted or anything?
No, they're still pending.
What? The big explosion in the dude's butt or the bust of the cocaine.
So if you sit really hard, do you get like a shot of high from your buttocks?
I do anyway.
See,
I don't need cocaine.
Yes, I want the size.
I have a natural high for my butt.
Yes, I want the size 38 curve.
We're going to work together. We're going to build a relationship.
Aww.
You're going to let me inside, poke around, find out what's causing those bad dreams of yours.
Okay. 516-620-3602. Make your pledge
we
right
We need a bosom
now.
Butt buddy.
That's right.
Make only
a buddy, 10. Buddy pay up time.
You can be our butt of
buddy?
Psychological and emotional cocaine.
Size 38, regular.
I just need my buttocks cocaine.
That's right, I want it for my buttocks.
I know, my buttocks.
trying to, he's making it for the gate.
Right. Sir, sir, you left something behind here.
Stop that ass!
No, not you, woman.
Get him! Get him!
You have a story, Mike, from Jersey.
Is this, first of all, is this the correct one right here? This right here?
Yes, it is. Yes, okay. It is. You can read the headline first.
I do. A wandering mind. Daydreaming sometimes gets a bad reputation. Students who don't pay attention in class end up having trouble completing coursework. And workers who spend meetings thinking about winning the lottery are probably not the most productive. But research has shown that not all daydreaming is bad. For example, daydreaming motivates people to work towards establishing their goals, says Dr. Matthew Lorber, acting director of the Child and Adolescent Psychiatry at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City. For example, if a high school student daydreams about getting into a good college, such daydreaming may motivate him or her to actually study more during high school in order to get into a good college, he said. And I believe that's it.
No, there's an arrow there. What's your problem?
Oh, okay. Here are a few surprising facts about daydreaming. We daydream on purpose. Blinking and thinking. Mind wandering may go hand in hand with more frequent eye blinking, research suggests. In a study published in 2010 in the journal Psychological Science, researchers asked people to read a passage from a book.
I don't believe you.
And track their eye movements as they read. The researchers also tracked whether the people's minds wandering at random intervals throughout the experiment, whether they remained focused. For this part of the study, the researchers asked the people from time to time whether they were paying attention or letting their minds wander away from the task.
Kind of like this show.
They found that people in the study tended to blink more during the moments when their mind wandered compared to with moments in which they're more focused on the task.
I'm familiar with what I call the slow blink syndrome, signifying a lack of comprehension. You look at somebody, you're talking to them, and then they blink slowly. You know they don't understand what you just said. Go ahead.
I never understand anything. Daydreaming can help with problem solving.
Elena thinks.
Point is, I don't think.
If you are stuck in a problem, letting your mind wander for a bit may help you get unstuck. Research published in 2009 in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences suggests that the brain areas that allow people to solve complex problems become more active during daydreaming.
And they're storing cocaine.
Mind wandering is typically associated with negative things like laziness and inattentiveness, lead study author Kalina Kristoff, psychological psychiatrist at the University of British Columbia, said in a statement. But this study shows our brains are very active when we daydream, much more active than when we focus on a routine task. The findings suggest that daydreaming may serve to distract our attention from immediate tasks to solve other more important problems, the research said.
Well, I'd like to give thought, but I'm daydreaming.
I like the idea of daydreaming.
There's more. There's five facts. You only gave us one.
Yeah.
Here's the second fact.
There's two facts I gave.
Mike is daydreaming.
All right, give me two facts. I daydream through the
daydreaming
first
and dreaming and then daydreaming amnesia. For some people, letting their mind
daydreaming what?
Amnesia.
Daydreaming amnesia. That is the title of the album right there.
I think that just happened to me. For some people, letting their mind wander makes it tough to remember when they were doing, were they doing before their mind drifted. Researchers have suggested that such daydreaming amnesia.
Daydream amnesia. I know I was dreaming, but I don't know what I was dreaming about. I have daydream amnesia. I can't pay attention. I daydream, but then I don't remember what I was dreaming. So I'm never really here.
Daydreaming amnesia is exacerbated if your mind drifts further from your current moment. For example, it's more common when your mind drifts to memories of overseas trips rather than a stay caution, or to a memory of an event that occurred 5 years ago as opposed to 2 days ago. In the study, researchers asked people to look at lists of words. Then they asked some of the people to think about their own homes and where they had been that morning. Whereas they asked other people to think about their parents' homes, which they have not visited in several weeks. The researchers then asked all the people in the study to recall as many words from the list as possible. The participants who were asked to think about their own homes were able to recall more words on average than others in other groups, according to the findings published in 2010 in the journal of Psychological Science. You can be zapped into a daydream.
You can be zapped into a daydream?
You could be zapped into a daydream.
So like you could be in the middle of, well, you know, I really think that the problem we have...
It sounds like a classic Batman episode.
I remember.
Shoot him with a daydream.
I don't remember.
Zapping a certain brain area may actually increase how often people daydream, according to a study published in 2015 in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. In the study, researchers found that when they stimulated people's frontal lobes with a mild electrical current, people reported experiencing more daydreams than usual. The frontal lobe is part of the brain that regulates our self-control, planning, and logical thinking.
What do we throw away here on the show? Night shift. No frontal lobe.
Our results go beyond what was achieved earlier, in earlier studies. Study co-author Moshe Bar, a neuroscientist.
Moshe Bar.
Brain Research Center at Blaine University in Israel said in a statement, "They demonstrate that the frontal lobes play a casual role in the production of mind-wandering behavior." I don't recall.
Can you say that again? It seems I was.
He was daydreaming. Say that part again.
Say that part again because I thought I saw something. They saw something.
I saw something. I don't know.
Mike, it's too bad you don't have I Don't Remember by Peter Gabriel queued up.
I know, that would be great. He turns me on.
Fans. You have Peter Gabriel fans.
Yeah, you finished many.
I didn't get number five. Was that number five?
That was number five. That was number five. Two, and then there was.
Give me that. Give me that.
That's an interesting story.
Check my work.
Daydreaming.
He read it like 5 minutes ago.
Daydreaming. I read it fast and then slowly and then slowly and then fast.
Just like sex. Yeah.
My. All right. There's a persistent hum in this Canadian city, and no one knows why. Oh, my. Okay. There's some humming going on in this Canadian city, and no one knows why. A persistent noise of unknown origin, sometimes compared to a truck idling or distant thunder, has bedeviled a Canadian city for years, damaging people's health and quality of life. Numerous residents reported
this. This is a hum city.
A humming city.
And people live there and they're damaged.
No one knows why by the hum.
It's like the Forbidden Zone.
Yes.
No one knows.
Those who hear it have compared it to a fleet of diesel engines idling next to your home.
A fleet of diesel engines or idling next to your home.
Kind of like your voice, Mike. Can you finish the story?
The pulsation of a subwoofer at a concert. Others reported rattling their windows and spooking their pets. Known as the Windsor Hum. The Windsor Hum. The Windsor Hum. This sound in Windsor, Ontario, near Detroit, is unpredictable in its duration, timing, and intensity, making it all the more maddening for those affected. You know, how you hear of people who have gone out to secluded places, you know, to get away from certain sounds or noises and the like. Sabrina Wise posted in a private Facebook group dedicated to finding the source of the noise. You see, I wanted to do that many times in the past year or so because it's gotten so bad, she wrote. Now imagine having to flee all you know and love just to have a chance to hear nothing humming in your head for hours on end. Since reports of it surfaced in 2011, the hum has been studied by the Canadian government. Yes, by the Canadian government, the University of Western Ontario, and the University of Windsor. You see, activists have done their own sleuthing. Now, over 6 years, Mike Provost of Windsor, who helps run the Facebook page, has amassed more than 4,000 pages of daily observations about the duration, intensity, and characteristics of the sound and weather conditions at the time. Now, you see, he has had to fend off skeptics and theorists who believe that the hum is
Detroit.
Related to secret tunneling or UFOs.
Secret tunneling for 60 years. What are they going to the center of the earth? Secret tunneling.
Or UFOs.
They've been tunneling for decades.
Covert government operations, you said.
It's like, but it doesn't make sense.
What is going on?
Maybe there's a UFO trapped under the ground. I don't know. What's your take, Elena? First of all, what's your take on the hum?
The
town is humming. Do you have a concept on it? And two, would you stay in a town that has a hum that potentially could damage your ears?
Or your psyche.
Like, that's what Byron says.
Or both.
So what's your take? What do you think the hum is?
I think it's I think it's an addictive phenomenon.
Addictive phenomenon?
Excuse me.
What does that even mean?
I love it.
I know.
What does that even mean?
I've got more humming over here than there's over there. So what's humming?
Ooh.
Who's humming?
By the way, it says the researchers have found no trends related to gender or age for the hearers.
Wow.
And they put in brackets, hearers. The hearers. Those who are listening to the show, they're the hearers.
How is this not an X-File?
It probably was.
Exactly.
And it takes place in Canada. Come on.
Exactly.
No, well, they do say it's been heard in other places.
Here's the reference. She says, think about a dog, sound of a dog barking. It doesn't need to be loud enough to physically damage you to be really annoying.
It's incessant.
And distracting.
Yeah.
The hum. That's like a Netflix series. Byron?
Yes, Mike.
Elena, you have no theory on the hum other than what you said, which is weird?
Addictive phenomenon.
Whatever that means. I don't even know what addictive phenomena is.
One person says and then passes on to another.
In other words, there's no real hum.
No.
Elena, she could be. She's the Mulder character. Is she Mulder or is she Scully?
She would be the Mulder. Definitely.
She's the Mulder character. Definitely. No. She doesn't believe in it. She wants to believe.
She's Scully.
She's Scully because she didn't believe anything. She's like,
definitely Scully.
Byron would be like, yeah, there's a hum. It's the aliens are tunneling, and she's like, no, there's no hum. It's addictive. What did you call it?
Addictive phenomenon.
Byron would be like those guys, the lone gunmen who have all the conspiracies locked down.
Byron?
Mike.
There's a story.
Excuse me, I'm humming. My side of the table here is humming, and I'm having a humming experience.
Are you having a humming experience?
I am having a humming experience.
I used to dance the Windsor Hum back in the 20s.
Thank you, I needed that.
This is more of the DGM that you'll be getting. Byron Saunders.
Mike Sargent.
Elena, you have a story. This is a disturbing story. Animal story.
Hamster flushed down toilet after being rejected from flight.
Oh my god! What?
Pebbles, devastated owner, is considering taking legal action against the airline and for allegedly suggesting that she flushed her pet down the toilet. Her name is Belon Aldroza. 21 alleges that she twice checked with Spirit Airlines whether or not she could bring Pebbles with her on flight home from Maryland, Florida, and on both occasions was told there would not be a problem. When she turned up, however, Pebbles was not allowed on the plane.
Damn.
Stop. Most people are
flush you go down. Okay, go ahead, please, with the story.
She said unsuccessfully tried renting a car to take Pebbles back to her university accommodation and that any friends who could have come to pick her up were several hours away. The solution, she claims, was an airline representative suggested was to flush it down a toilet at the terminal.
Oh my god.
Stop!
Oh my god,
you can flush it.
Get and that stanky animal off my plane.
You could flush it.
And some people are complaining about constant sounds.
What do you mean flush it? Well, you could flush it down the toilet and get on the plane.
It actually probably would go down. And as she considered,
down the drain.
in a more humane way of ending her life than letting her free outside.
Letting her free. You're free in the airport. You're free.
Did you say that? Live free here at the airport.
For about 20
minutes. Well, Tom Hanks did it.
Exactly. Stick ahead, please.
She was scared. I was scared. It was horrifying. Trying to put her in the toilet, she told the Miami Herald.
She was scared. I was scared.
It was turmoil. I was emotional. I was crying.
They saw something. I saw something.
How did they get through security?
I sat there. Please. No. How did that happen? Her quotes are just heart-wrenching. I was emotional. I was crying. I sat there for a good 10 minutes, crying in the stall. I didn't have any other options. She was so loving. It was like she knew I needed somebody.
In her final moments, she actually spoke.
Don't flush me.
She brought pebbles to help her cope. She had bought pebbles to help her cope with a cancer scare last year. The grocery.
She flushed her support hamster down the toilet, and now she's suing the airline. Tell me life is not like science fiction.
I think that what we have here is a simple case of
life is like science fiction. That's what you have. A simple case of life is like science fiction.
Simple case of animal abuse. And we're going to have to...
On whose part? Whose part? The airline? The woman?
The toilet.
She's like... The toilet. Exactly. The toilet manufacturer. Go ahead, Elena, please.
The growth she found in her neck proved benign, but it caused her some pain, and so she was traveling back to the Sunshine State to have it removed.
Oh, my God. What?
What? Exactly. Oh, well, the growth was benign, so I got a hamster, and then I had to put it on the toilet, Your Honor.
Why does she have
Maybe she was just daydreaming and there was the hamster.
Yeah, why does she have a hamster?
Like, now I have a hamster. What the heck?
Why she has a hamster? She has a hamster because the growth was benign, Byron.
And where was she hiding this hamster?
The growth was probably cocaine.
It was probably in her pocket. Come on. Keep going, please, Elena.
Spirit Airlines has admitted the members of staff who told the Pebbles would be able to tag along were wrong to do so.
We admit they were misinformed, but can't bring that rodent on the airline. You should have flushed it down the toilet.
But they denied that. The airline does not.
Well, we didn't say flush it down the toilet, but, you know.
We just kind of impliedly pointed to it.
She could have.
Excuse me, but, Your Honor, in defense of my witness, she's claiming that there was no sign that said that she couldn't flush it down the toilet.
Finish, Elena.
She was in the wrong airport. Haven't you seen Don't Flush Hamsters Down the Toilet with the big cross over it? Like a picture of a hamster over the toilet with a crossover?
Corporation for not posting that sign.
You can get that at Home Depot.
The title of my first solo album was Don't Flush My Hamster Down the Toilet.
That's right. There you go. Mm-hmm. At the airport. In brackets, at the airport. Good.
To be clear, at no point did any of our agents suggest the guest, or any other for that matter, should flush or otherwise injure an animal.
We never said flush it. We just said you could.
Animal rights groups PETA has also called on for criminal charges to be brought against those involved in Pebble's horrific, terrifying death.
PETA is involved. Those who are involved in Pebble's death will pay.
This is not life, it's like science fiction. Byron, this is straight up.
This is insane. They saw something.
Go ahead, Elena.
They even have pictures of Pebbles in a wheel. This is horrible.
This is like the last photos. Last known photos of Pebbles.
Alive.
At the airport. Pre-flush.
Flushing a living being down the toilet is not only cruel, but also illegal. And both the person who killed this animal and Sprint Airlines is...
So wait, who actually did the flushing?
She did it.
All right, but she's saying she didn't...
She sat there 10 minutes contemplating.
Yes.
A whole 10 minutes.
Holding it by its tail over the toilet. And the hamster.
You helped me through my cancer scare. For 10 minutes I contemplated bid, not killing
in
you.
In a bid for contact, spoke English and said,
"Don't flush me."
But she did it anyway. The incident happened back in November, but she decided to share her story with a similar tale regarding an emotional support peacock went viral last week.
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear about that? The emotional support peacock that they didn't let on the plane.
Oh, my God.
Yes. That inspired her.
Ridiculous.
The emotional support peacock story inspired her to come forward about flushing her hamster. You know what? I had to flush my hamster out of this. And the world is going insane.
Mike, what about the monkey cloning?
Excuse me.
I sent you that article. Did you see that?
Yeah, well, that's when you monkey clone. Yes, monkey clone.
As the attorney.
That's the name for the band.
As the attorney representing the hamster, we'd like to have a cost file.
Talk to PETA. PETA's involved.
Yes, PETA is stepping in to help support our claim.
Is more of the board's story?
There was collusion here. There was collusion.
There's no collusion.
Elena.
The bird was named, well, they continue with about the peacock. It was denied entrance to United Airlines flight from Newark Airport in New Jersey. Dexter survived this dispute with airline staff and was driven to his destination in L.A. The incident prompted United Airlines to release a list of animals banned from its planes, which includes...
Peacocks.
Includes hedgehogs, ferrets, snakes, spiders, and non-household birds. So if you bring any of those, you're going to have to flush them.
Damn. What about a cockatoo?
Cockatoo? No, there's not. That counts.
Is that, you can bring a cockatoo? So Beretta was fine.
You can bring a cock on a plane.
Yes.
But my client,
all cocks are welcome on planes.
My client.
All right, let's get some people to play.
Excuse me.
516-620-3602. Make a pledge right now, and you can get the DGM if you've been enjoying this music. And you'd like to support this show that hopefully has been amusing you throughout the evening, throughout the morning, whatever you're waking up or going to sleep. If you like this, or if you're listening to it later.
Night Dream with us.
516. Make a pledge. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Out with your pledge.
Put your faith in me, there'll be no danger. All the strength I have.
What's the phone number, Byron?
516-620-3602. That once again, 516-620-3602. Make your pledge right now, $35.
Winter DGM 2018. We'll send you the CD, 88 tracks.
516.
Free. 620. Or become a BAI buddy. Just go to the Facebook page. The options are right there. NITESHIFT. Night Shift.
Night Shift.
Can you tell them about the texting, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to text
them. You can tell them.
If you want to text your pledge, you type in the letters WBAI to the number 41444. And you can make your pledge that way.
Elena, why don't you try it? Make a pledge and see what happens.
Do I have to actually do it? Or do I have to be flushed down the toilet?
Hey, Elena. And then you can contemplate throwing Byron down the toilet. Stand there.
Oh, yeah.
My client and I would like to approach the bench.
He's like a handsome... handsome hamster I could flush down.
Byron, weren't you in the bubble 2 weeks ago? Was that what happened?
I was in the bubble, yes. This is very true. See, you remember.
I was outside the bubble.
Ah, yes. What are those?
I showed up at Byron's and I saw this bubble and I called Mike and I said to myself,
Now this Mike, world is what do I do about this bubble?
And set spinning. You gotta hustle to get by, but get children and eat right before you sleep. Tighten a pine box. You gotta find meaning in life before time stops. The truth is, we all make stupid excuses. Trying to find truth, but the truth is elusive. You gotta find peace and the fact that it's useless to seek real truth, cause it's just an illusion. But I don't wanna seem overly jaded. I don't know a thing, but I really can fake it quite well. Enough that it sounds convincing, like the so-called benefits of ginseng. But whatever happens, I've abided. To try to live righteous, I've decided that this existence can't be rushed, cause it's much too much, too much, too much, just too much. It's much too much for us.
You ready, Mike, from Jersey?
I am, and I believe I actually sent you this.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So I'll be reading. Now, Byron, just listen to this. Just listen to the headline.
All right.
Okay? Now, keep in mind, I want you to make a pledge. Yes. Hope you're enjoying the music and everything, but this story will blow your mind.
This new company wants you to trade your DNA sequence for cryptocurrency.
That's right, Byron.
Sell your DNA for money.
Sell your DNA for cryptocurrency. Now, if that is not straight up out of science fiction, that's... come on, Byron. See? Even Byron's shaking his
He's
head.
He's daydreaming.
So you can basically go to this like website, like a PayPal, yes. and just punch up some buttons and then and just send out your DNA.
You? How much they give you?
Let's find out.
I'll bet you people would do it. That'd be interesting. Everybody would become like a database.
Nebula Genetics minute, business on. Model.
Could that
is
be
legit.
Nebula hold Genetics?
Hold on.
Nebula what? Genetics.
Could this be a criminal offense of transporting DNA across?
No, no, because
not at all.
There's no laws about yes. The transportation of DNA.
Okay. Yes,
there are no laws, Byron. Well, there are laws? As technology increases, there are new crimes that can be committed. That there are no laws.
Well,
you have to create laws.
Well,
human beings are creative. They have to create new laws in that last story we were just talking about. Go ahead, Byron. I mean, Mike from Jersey.
From Jersey.
After about a year of development, a new biotech company, the brainchild of Harvard genetics pioneer George Church, emerged from the darkness this week.
George Church emerged from the darkness?
Hello!
Hi! I was daydreaming, sorry.
The darkness.
I'm out of the darkness.
Yes.
Someone flushed me down the toilet.
Damn it, Sherry!
I'm out of the darkness. What's going on?
Stat News reports. It's called Nebula Genetics.
Nebula Genetics.
And it lets you buy and sell your genetic data using cryptocurrency. The core idea powered the startup is to give individuals control over their own genetic information. By contrast, sites like Ancestry and 23andMe, the two leading consumer genetics companies, use customers' data for commercial purposes without compensation. Nebula's model would allow people to profit by selling that data themselves.
See, that's what they did with Henry
Adams. That's right. Max. I think that, Elena, you can make some extra cash, sell your DNA.
There's ethics here. That
we could have like a whole, like, and as an experiment, they make an island of Elenas.
Oh. Our vision here.
The dream.
Elena Island.
You know the story of Henrietta Lacks, don't you? You know that story?
No, but let Mike from Jersey finish.
Okay.
Then our vision is to enable as many people as possible to get sequenced and get medical researchers
get
to
sequenced.
Use that data get anonymously. Sequenced. So that means that you can basically literally
get sequenced.
Get a genetic sample sequence of every human on the planet?
Yes. That's
okay.
The way to go.
The Henrietta Lacks story is about an African-American woman. But look it up. Google it.
But what do you get in exchange?
Yeah, what do you get?
Okay.
Jersey?
So, in a white paper, the startup outlines the Nebula economy. Here's how it works. For the price of a Nebula token, the company's cryptocurrency, Nebula will sequence your personal genome.
A Nebula token. So they give you some kind of nonsense
They give you their own currency.
Their own currency.
Can you?
There it is. Tell me that's not science fiction right there.
Is that redeemable at Target?
It's a cryptocurrency, meaning like it's worthless.
Actually, I think Target might actually be taking
somebody decides it is.
E-coin or something.
It's like the stock market. Go ahead.
Nebula will sequence your personal genome and give you back a report, but your data remains under your control. You can then choose to sell it to researchers at biotech and pharma companies, for instance, in exchange for Nebula tokens that the researchers buy from Nebula with fiat money, conventional money.
Fiat money. What's fiat money?
Regular money.
Oh, actual money. Why do they call it fiat?
I
what is that?
I have no idea.
Okay. Fiat money. Byron, you got any fiat money?
Fiat go away.
Exactly.
I have certificates of fiat.
You got some Nebula tokens?
Yeah, I can.
You got a Nebula token?
My portfolio's.
Hey, brother, can you spare a Nebula token?
I bought early and I've been holding on to this for quite some time.
Excuse me, brother.
You got a couple of Nebula tokens? All right, go ahead.
The buying and selling of the DNA data all happens on the blockchain, a decentralized system for keeping accounts. Basically, same way that.
Lena, do you have an account in the blockchain?
Yes.
In addition to
that's such a
yes.
You know, you've been studying acting. Oh yes, I do.
In addition to church, the company is headed by Dennis Grissom.
Actress.
A graduate student in Church's lab, an entrepreneur, and former Googler Kamlad Abad.
A former Googler? What?
Kamlad
Abad.
Former Googler Kamlad Abad. That's quite a moniker.
That's easy for you to say.
Former Googler Abad, come on.
Yes, what'd you say?
My name?
Kamlad Abad.
Former Googler Kamlad Abad. I want to be called by my full title.
Then go.
Former Googler, come on.
See, it's infectious.
Full name. Former Googler, come on.
Their goal is to get a lot of people sequenced, Abad said. He told me most people haven't yet done. Not yet done so because of the cost and privacy concerns, he says.
What do you mean because of the cost of privacy? How many people do you know that have been thinking about, like, you know, I really wish I could afford to sequence my DNA.
I really want to be sequenced.
You know, like, I talk about it over Thanksgiving dinner.
I think about sequencing all the time.
Byron, have you thought about sequencing your DNA? Have you ever given it a thought in your life?
The story of Henrietta Lacks.
No.
Okay.
No.
Wait. No. Just before Byron tells us that story. We're going to ask you to go to give2wbai.org. That's give the number 2 wbai.org.
You said number 2.
And you can pledge the number 2. Yes, the number 2, you fool. Okay. Clean your mind up, all right? Give to WBA.
Flush it down the toilet.
Exactly.
You're number 2.
You know something, Elena? When I fly over there.
My number 2 hamster.
All right, anyway, give to WBAI.org. Yes. Make a pledge right now.
Oh my God, it's a hamster.
You can become a WBAI buddy. And for as low as $10 a month, we'd love for you to do $25. But as low as $10 a month, you can make a pledge every month just to support BAI. And you know, if we get enough of those kind of pledges, we won't even need to be doing this anymore. So,
become a buddy.
Not that we don't enjoy it.
WBAI. Give to WBAI.org. Or you can make the phone. What's the phone call?
516.
You can make the phone call.
620-3602. 516-620-3602. That's right. I see the lights on the telephone.
Thank you.
516-620-3602.
Ding, 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 ding.
And if you want the music.
And you want it.
$35 pledge. We'll send you these 88 tracks free.
516-620-3602.
6.5 hours of tax-deductible music.
Make your pledge now. DGM, baby.
You're with that, you're with that.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
That was good. That was good, right? Byron.
DGM.
All right, so Mike from Jersey,
yes,
before Byron tells us the story he was going to tell us, are you finished with your story? Is there more?
There's a bit more.
All right, talk to me.
In addition to church, the company he headed by Dennis Grisham, a graduate student in church's lab and entrepreneur, former Googler Kumabad, said that the goal is to get a lot of people sequenced. Nebula keeps your sequence very secure, Grishan and Abad say. It is encrypted, which means that the buyers will never see your identifying information in plain text. Everyone in the system has an individual ID code.
Everyone in the system.
Which allows you to stay totally anonymous, while the sequence buyers have to disclose their identities as a condition of joining the platform. So there are two levels of prediction, Grishan said. Nebula contends that most consumer genetics companies, rather than sequencing the full genome, rely on an outdated method. Microarray-based genotyping, which yields small amounts of data that are limited in value to individual data owners and research. With the Nebula, researchers will get access to the complete sequence, which is more useful. Our vision here is to enable as many people as possible to get sequenced and get medical researchers
to use
the data.
Why do you need to get sequenced?
For drug discovery and medical
drug
development.
Drug discovery. Yes, I could see Elena's DNA being used for drug discovery.
Of course. The things you would discover. Like, why did that hair grow there?
Byron, tell us about the story you want to tell us.
All right.
I can't wait.
Henrietta Lacks, born Beretta Pleasant, August 1st, 1920, October 4th, 1951 is when she passed away. This is an African-American history of note. Now, Henrietta Lacks was an African-American woman whose cancer cells are the source of the HeLa cell line, the first immortalized cell line and one of the most important cell lines in medical research. An immortalized cell line will reproduce indefinitely under specific conditions, and the HeLa cell line continues to be a source of invaluable medical data to the present day. Now, Henrietta was the unwitting source of these cells from a tumor biopsied during treatment for cervical cancer at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland, 1951. The cells were then cultured by George Otto Gray, who created the cell line known as HeLa, which is still used for medical research. As was then the practice, no consent was obtained to culture her cells, nor were she or her family compensated for their extraction or use. Did you hear what I just said? Okay.
No, I know this story.
You know
this
story. This relates very much to this, because at the point in which, if you're going to do this, make sure you're protecting the value of your giving your DNA. Because this is the very extreme side of the storyline.
That's right. Get two Nebula tokens.
Yeah, because ultimately, to protect your rights, it's your DNA. they use this woman's
That's
DNA.
That's right. They could find the cure for cancer in your DNA, and what do you get? A Nebula token.
There's 100,000 different ways you can get a DNA sample from somebody. You could literally tag the entire planet, whether they like it or not.
This is the movie Oprah Winfrey
did. They're trying to pay
about the story on Henrietta Lacks.
Yes.
It was very well done.
You saw the
George
movie?
George Wolf directed that.
The movie?
The TV movie.
Uh-huh. It was a TV movie, right?
Yeah. Who directed this?
George Wolf.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Which is why a couple weeks ago, I was down in Florida to see the Color Museum, which, you know, George Wolf wrote and direct. Michael Pinckney, my brother, Dr. Michael Pinckney, who teaches at the University of Florida, directed it there a couple weeks ago, and I went to go see it. It was brilliant. I did not know that Michael was the ghost director on the project when George was directing and writing it. Michael Pinckney was the ghost director as it was being done at the public theater. And his production was brilliant, Mike. The design of the new Smithsonian African American Museum, that was the design of the set piece, the stage set. And it used it brilliantly to tell the story that George Wolf wrote, but Michael's production. And here's something that was extraordinary. The University of Florida requires that the freshman class, everyone in the freshman class, must go to see an identified production in the year. This was identified, and they then would have talkback sessions afterwards. So the freshmen would get credit to come see the show. The house was a pack. They did for 3 weekends. It was brilliant. It really was amazing. And I'm real glad I was there. I saw it 4 different times. The cast was great. The set design. But let's get back to why we're here, because we want you to pledge. We want you to pledge and get your over 6 hours of DMG.
No,
DGM.
DGM.
Anyway, 516-620-3602.
Damn.
516-620-3602.
I'm hungry. Winter 2018.
Damn.
You can have all of this for $35. Pick up the phone right now. Thank you for your pledge. Thank you.
You can also text WBAI.
Thank you for being our buddy.
Hold on a second. Text WBAI to the number 41444. Or 516-620-3602. Pledge and get some DGM.
Turn up or wake your neighbors up.
This is like
wake your neighbors up.
Somebody's knocking at the front door.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Wake your neighbors up right now.
Could you turn that music down?
All right. So here's what I do want to say, Byron. You are tuned to listener sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. If you're listening to this as a podcast, then you don't really know what time it is. But if you're listening to it live, you know it is now 1:55 AM. We are into Tuesday now. It is Tuesday. It is the 20th. Of February 2018. We're living in the future. Elena is still here.
I think.
She's still here. Elena's still here. So I have some interesting stories, but I also want to say I do have an interview, Byron, with Ruth Carter.
Yes.
I was going to play the segment from
Wakanda Forever.
Real World. I was going to play the whole Real World segment, but I think I could just play the interview.
Interview is very good.
It's only a few minutes, but one of the beautiful things about Black Panther is the costuming.
It's
the costuming
exquisite.
Is
beautiful.
It's beautiful, and the thing about it is, for me anyway, is that it's a celebration of, you know, of color and fabrics, and it's a mixture of styles. And like I said, one of the powerful things about it is You know, it's very easy, and I've spoken to a lot of white friends who have seen the movie, who like it on a certain level, and it just makes sense because of who and what you are. It's sort of like what Wonder Woman could mean to women versus men. Men are like, yeah, that's cool, she kicks ass. For a woman, it means something very different. For a little girl, it means something very different. So for people of color, Black Panther is a whole other thing. Right. So, that being said, and not in any way to exclude anybody from the experience, because the experience is the experience, but is a cultural phenomenon because we are part of the fabric of the planet, and for us to have an opportunity now to start speaking in the realm of science fiction and it making money and people going, wow, look, this is something we haven't seen. You know, the world is just as open to that as they are for anything else. That's my opinion. I think that, you know, in some ways we underestimate people. People are stupid and narrow-minded and everything, but at the same time, people's minds can be opened. You know, they're for every, you know, I have one story about these two racists who got into a fight saying who was more racist. Did you read about that? Two KKK men?
Yes.
It's like, it's ridiculous. But but at the same time, you see these stories about, you see these stories about people who were white supremacists who then marries a Black woman. It's like his life changed.
Redemption.
You know, it's not even so much redemption. It's just like, you know, as some great person said, the cure for racism is prejudice, is contact. That's, you know, that's the cure. You know, once you have contact, once you realize, oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Just,
you know,
be a human being to another human being.
Exactly. So that's the contact part. Say all that to say, it's a celebration of a lot of things. And the costumes, again, something different. We've seen so many things in science fiction, so many reiterations and reboots and regurgitations of so many things that were not Afrofuturism. It's time. I think Afrofuturism, we're going to see a huge boom. I think this is the equivalent of the combination of Star Wars and Sweet Sweet Back, in the sense that they both, you know, blaxploitation films were, you know, exploded because of Sweet Sweet Back's badass song, and Star Wars science fiction film exploded because of that. So it's two things.
So you think this is going to do that for black sci-fi
for
cinema?
For Afrofuturism, absolutely. I mean, there's already stuff in the pipeline. Okay, I think Black Lightning, Luke Cage, right. I think, you know, the Octavia Butler stuff that's coming, right. You know, The Wrinkle in Time, all that stuff, it's already in the pipeline. I just think that, and believe me, there'll be lots of low-budget stupidity coming, right. too. That's coming, too. But I think it'll become just like, and here's what's significant. Just like every Hollywood, let's stop again, erasing race. You know, let's just get back to humans. Hollywood and the money behind Hollywood follows the money. Okay, so just like when, you know, Sweet Sweet Back made money, oh, we can make money in a black film, you know, and then make a certain kind of black film. It's got a certain kind of formula. That's what it is. So Hollywood always follows the money. So if they see that this myth of black films don't travel and stories about people of color, nobody in the rest of the world cares, they're not going to pay money to see it. You know, once that's exploded, and now there's money to be made in telling these stories, the floodgates will open. And now we're part of that most powerful, most money-making. It is not insignificant because, you know,
the impact at the box office is that the first weekend, the movie cost $200 million.
Right. Yes.
The first weekend, it has cleared $220
million. $225 so domestically. It made $391.
Right. So it's globally. Already made its money back.
Right. And okay, but it's not making like Spider-Man money, but it's making Iron Man money.
It blew away both Spider-Man and Iron Man. But the point I'm making is that it's a phenomenon so that...
Remember when Michael Jackson...
Just like when Star Wars came out, okay, everybody scrambled MTV. To try and come up with something. So where I'm coming from is that it will open these doors. And just like blaxploitation, there may be a lot of crap out there, but a lot of artists got an opportunity. You know, that was the time Sidney Poitier got to make his films during that boom. You know, he got to direct it and wanted to direct for a while. So
you're telling me that Black Panther is literally the Star Wars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. It is a cultural phenomenon. It is not something to be taken lightly, because you look at it in the context of entertainment and what drives box office and all of that, and what we've already seen. You know, we've broken two myths in the course of a year. You know, female-generated films, you know, because racism, sexism, they go hand-in-hand, in my opinion. They go hand-in-hand. Mm-hmm. They got a common enemy. It's the same thing, okay? So, all that being said, you know, I think the term, fight like a girl, is going to be gone into the past. I think it'll be over.
I think it'll be used ironically.
Yeah, exactly. I think. You know, Elena hasn't seen all Case the kick-ass closed. Women. Elena, did you see Wonder Woman yet?
No.
See? She didn't see that. She didn't see...
I don't need to see.
Yeah, but Elena, when you start...
I fight like a girl, Elena, because I do.
Elena will start walking around with like a staff.
Your
She'll have a
effort.
Staff. She'll
Save
have,
like, your staff effort.
And be like, yes, watch. I might take you out with my staff.
I saw Wonder Woman several times over the last couple of days.
Did you?
Wow, really? Yes. Recently?
Oh,
recently.
This is Byron. Is that kind and, of, he's that kind of guy.
And I must say... After watching Black Panther, the thing that disappointed me about Wonder Woman is that you teased me with more of right now as opposed to the World War One story that it gave me in the second version, or her opening version.
Right.
Because you gave me her in Batman, and I appreciate that, and you showed me how you got to that picture.
Right.
But it's like I was bored with it at a certain point, and especially after seeing this one, because this visual of Black Panther is that your perception and going in of Africa is going to be blown away, because you don't consider it in this manner in a 21st
century. But let me just say this to you, Byron. But that's you as a person of color. You're not a woman, okay?
But
for a woman to have a story that is so, you know, female-centric, it had that effect, I think, on women and young girls like Black Panthers. That's what I'm saying.
Most of the African diaspora woman-to-male relationship is that there are very many women, there are more women than men, so that they need to be as much warrior as men must be. Otherwise, the sustenance of the civilization itself will have to have some bearance on which sex does
right,
defend
Before you go too far.
I'm not going too far because of the medication. Because the matriarchal society is a very significant part of the strength and the power of this movie, because it is the army. It is the army. Not the men. I just got to do an exhibit over at Hunter College where they postulated the curators and the artists who created this seed moment about the creation of a seed bank. European story, in which they literally became martyrs because they wanted to protect the bank so much. It's a Russian story. But the fact is that we have to manage how we sustain our tribes by way of food, okay? And they postulate that because men were toiling the soil with oxen and shovel and whatever, that they created
a... Is that a phrase, toiling the soil?
Toiling the soil, and this is how they drew the line together. They decided that because men who were outdoors making the crops grow helped to develop the matriarchal society, while women were patriarchal. Men were doing patriarchal, while women were being matriarchal in the house, succulating the, and raising the children. And it created...
succulating.
Is this all in Wonder Woman?
This is an exhibit that I just got through working.
I'm daydreaming.
But ultimately, thank you.
He's on that limb. He's coming in. He's coming.
I got it.
He's coming in for a landing. Yes, he's coming in. Yeah, I've flown with Byron before.
516.
I'm so out of it.
620-3602. Now I'm going to stop right here because we are trying to get you
I'm going to BAI 41444.
That's right.
41444. I'm going to disregard like a girl.
Type WBAI.
Make a plan. pledge. We really would like some BAI bunnies. That would really...
BAI bunnies?
Bunnies.
I'll be one.
Buddy.
I'll be a BAI bunny for a buddy. We just need to.
I'm
going to
read the story myself.
All right.
Oh, no. It'll go on forever.
That's right. I actually should read a story. I always give that story to everybody. Okay. How about this one?
Because you don't give us snacks.
You know, Elena?
We've all had to share this little bag of popcorn with no taste.
The beatings will begin. All right. Well, I'm not going to tell my story. I'm going to go to the
So thanks for Michael from Jersey bringing us wonderful fruit.
Oh, thank you.
What is
Ruth Carter story? But I did an interview with Ruth Carter. I did actually at Hampton University. I was talking to her about the costuming she did for Black Panther.
For most people, I'd say when they say costume, when you think costume, people think of superhero movies and the superhero costume. That's pretty much, I think, what young people would think today. But you are working on Black Panther, which takes place in a fictional African country. So how do you create costumes for a place that doesn't exist? What do you draw from?
We don't draw from a fictional African place because we don't want this to be a fictional African movie. We take our images from real African tribes and we combine them, and that's how we make it up. We combine them from real African tribes, and so you have the Maasai and the Himba tribe, and we might combine the two and come up with our own tribe, but it's based on something real, and that's what makes it even better, because it's more relatable, it has more of a origin, and it looks better. You can go so much further with it. It gives the actors more to draw from. It gives the costume more to draw from. It has more of an impact visually. Something made up is very sometimes one-dimensional and starts to look like a 60s sci-fi movie.
Gotcha. And was it difficult, considering Africa's not a place where, you know, there's as much documentation about how people dressed as in other countries? Was that difficult? What did you draw from?
There's a lot of documentation. There's a lot. There's one book we had that's called Ancient African Civilizations. There was another book we had called African Ceremonies. Another one was called Before They Pass Away. And they're very, very clear images. And if you just take one image of a African tribe, you know, these tribes are disappearing because everyone's moved out of the country and moved into the cities in Africa. So Africa's a very modern place. These tribes that we're drawing from are ancient tribes, you know. And if you look at one photograph from those ancient tribes, you'll find, you know, a plethora of details that you could use for your any purpose. So, I find it equal. I find that African culture is so dynamic, and it has, you take the Dogon, for example, they were the first astronomers, and one of the first astronomers, and their customs and their traditions and their ceremonies were so rich that you could just take one aspect of it and build a whole costume off of it.
super bad. I make love him. Give me some alcohol. I have them ladies coming. They hit the show. They all scream. Just like a Milky Ball, cause they are on me. I'm on my techno electric dubstep rep. London round the whole MAB. I got cruel intentions. Call me sir. I hypnotize them like I'm Biggie, sir. Boys, noise, cook the really ain't no action. When we drop this shit and they OD, they get high off my bars like a fiend. Leaning with 8, could kill them with 16. The whole crowd's off their face. Whole crowd's off their face. Whole crowd's off their face. Cause of me. The party jumping right from 8 until it's late. Crazy, crazy. Crazy, crazy. All my mates are crazy. Get the party jumping right from 8 until it's late.
All right, I do have a story. Okay, I have to say this. You know, this is not my favorite story of the night. Okay, but it's pretty close because I don't know if you read about this. Okay, here we go. The tractor beam that could levitate humans.
Oh my God, you sent me this.
I sent you this. Yes. Okay. Do you know about this, Myron? Okay. Star Trek-style device transforms sound waves into powerful mini-tornadoes to transport large objects. I'm going to read that to you again, Iron. Star Trek-style device transforms sound waves into powerful mini-tornadoes to transport large objects.
Okay.
Okay. There it is. Acoustic tractor beams use the power of sound to hold particles in midair. Unlike magnetic levitation, they can grab most solids or liquids, scientists found. For the first time, engineers have shown it possible to trap larger objects. Instead of using a spinning field of sound to keep an object steady, researchers have created a device that creates mini tornadoes.
That's interesting. That's,
wait, so it doesn't grab like a magnet? It just. No.
But
it's cyclonic. It's a rotating sound field.
Yeah, right. That surrounds the object itself and lifts it and moves it. Wow. That's what they're postulating.
Exactly. They're not postulating. They've done this.
They've done it. But they postulated to get it to do what they just said.
Well, it says here, now instead of using a spinning field of sound to keep an object steady, researchers have created a device that creates mini tornadoes. The acoustic researchers have been frustrated by the size limit for years. So it's a satisfying way to overcome it. It opens the door to many new applications. The new approach uses rapidly fluctuating sound vortexes.
So you pick
that's
up
right. The rapidly fluctuating sound vortex.
So maybe that's what that humming is.
The humming city.
That's where they've been.
Come again,
these
come
are
again.
Similar to tornadoes of sound.
That's what's going on underneath.
Now that's the band.
I got
right.
The connection.
That's the band right there. Tornadoes of sound.
Okay. That's what they call it.
It says they're similar to tornadoes of sound, made of a twister-like structure with a loud sound surrounding a silent core. This silent core is where the object can hover. By quickly changing the rotational direction of the mini tornadoes, researchers found the core increased in size, allowing larger objects to levitate. In the future, with more acoustic power. In the future, with more gigawatts. All right, with more acoustic power, it will be possible to hold even larger. It will hold even larger objects, said Dr. Michal Kalip, senior researcher associate. This was only thought to be possible using lower pitches, making the experiment audible and dangerous for humans.
Could you repeat that?
Wait, that's right. Right. Working with ultrasonic waves at a pitch of 40 kHz, similar to the pitch of which only bats can hear. Researchers held a 2-centimeter polystyrene sphere in the tractor beam. This sphere measures 2/2 acoustic wavelengths in size and is the largest yet trapped in a tractor beam. This research suggests that future much larger objects could be levitated in this way. Acoustic tractor beams have huge potential in many applications, said Dr. Bruce Drinkwater, professor of ultrasonics at the Department of Mechanical Engineering and supervisor of the project. I'm particularly excited by the idea of contactless production lines. Let that sink in. Contactless production lines where delicate objects are assembled without touching them, said Dr. Drinkwater. Now that's, tell me that's not a line like right out of Star Trek. I'm particularly excited by the idea of contactless production lines where delicate objects are assembled without touching them, said Dr. Drinkwater. So there it is. Dr. Drinkwater.
I know, that's like I said, AKA.
I couldn't make this up, Bart.
All right.
That's right. Oh my God. You tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio.
516-620-3602. Make your pledge right now. Get your over 6 hours of DGM Winter 2018.
You create your own track to be.
Come on, I need a couple of more calls.
516-620-3602.
Make the phones light up. Give that phone
number.
That's
the name of the first album.
Make me light up.
Acoustic tractor beam.
516-620-3602. Let's do it, y'all. There
we
you go.
You.
That's right. Light them up. Light them up. 516-620-3602. DGM. Damn. Good.
Text WBAI to 41444.
I have some other interesting stories here. This is a story that is just utterly disturbing. Oh. I'll let Elena read it.
Okay. Hey.
This is an utterly disturbing story. I put it on the Facebook page because the visual, I dare you to watch it. I dare you.
Oh, my God.
I dare you to watch the video, okay? I have a fun video on there, and then I have this one. Elena, just read the... the headline first. Let that sink in.
Weird worm crawling in Oregon. Woman's eye has only been seen in cows.
I saw this story.
Oh my God.
I saw this story. Go ahead.
It's certainly horrifying to discover small translucent worms squirming through your eyeballs. But what
small
if those worms...
small translucent worms squirming!
Oh my God, I can see a picture of it.
You can see it in your own eye. But what if those worms have never been found in human eyes before? That's what happened to a 26-year-old woman in Oregon who thought she felt something in her eye, and that something turned out to be... a parasitic eye worm.
Oh my God.
That previously...
Oh my God! You felt something in your eye, and there was something in your eye! A translucent worm!
What's in my eye?
That previously had been known to infect only cattle, according to a new report from researchers at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
And the cattle, they can't even lift their paw or their hoof up to do anything.
But you remember back on the story that...
The horrifying thing, you're just standing there with the worms in your eyes and you can't
How often do you see a cow blinking? Often.
Damn.
And that's why they're going.
And wasn't that what you were doing earlier? About daydreamers who eyes blink often? You might have a worm.
Please finish the story, Olivia.
The case published today in the American Journal of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene marks the first time that the species of eye worm called Glucosa has been seen in humans. The researcher said...
That's a cute name for the worm. Oh, it's Glucosa. Oh, look, you got Glucosa.
It's really Thalassia Glucosa. Thalassia Glucosa. Say that. Thalassia Glucosa. Cases of eyeworm parasite infections are rare in the USA, and this case turned out to be a species of the Thalassia that have never been reported in humans. Richard Bradley, lead author of the report and research of the CDC's parasite disease, previously it was thought if there were only two different species of these / eye worms that infected humans worldwide, now we have to add the third one, the Thalassia glucosa, a third one.
Damn, that's a dubious honor.
How come you didn't know about the first two?
I helped them discover the third eye worm.
The third eye worm.
Third eye worm. Yes, that's a band. That's a band. It's a band, right? Third eye worm.
Third eye worm.
Live. Third eye worm. I'm gonna put that on the.
Put that on the side.
On the page. I'm gonna put that on the page. Third eye worm. Live.
This particular Thalassia eye worm are found in numerous animals, including cats, dogs, foxes, and cattle, but. They didn't mention the hamster. Too bad it's still a shame. But they don't usually infect people.
Excuse me, Your Honor, can we approach the bridge again? I must defend my client.
Can I flush my hamster down the toilet?
I'm sorry.
It might have a worm.
I cannot let you keep doing this to my hamster. This is illegal. Live. You know it. I got the ASPCA behind me, and they're saying this is cruelty beyond.
Continue, Elena.
Okay.
Flush my client's
I just want to repeat this one thing.
What is wrong with y'all?
But they don't.
Have y'all lost y'all?
But they don't usually infect people. Usually. The worms are transmitted by different types of flies that feed on tears.
Live.
They feed on tears?
Yes.
They feed on tears!
Oh my God! Don't cry about it! Don't cry for me, Argentina. You'll get a worm.
They feed on tears.
Okay, biscuits. Okay.
Third eye worm.
In the new case.
Friday.
In this new case, which occurred in August 2016, the woman first reported feeling like there was something in her eye. A few weeks later. She pulled a small worm out of her eyeball.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
What?
How do you recover from that? You never recover from that! Ever!
That's just.
Never rub your eye again. You can never recover from
that. That's just poor hygiene.
You have to go to therapy for the rest of your life.
That gets new meaning to pass on
the eye. Move over.
Go ahead,
Alina. The woman went to see several doctors, including an ophthalmologist and an infectious disease specialist.
Did she bring it like in a Ziploc bag, the worm?
No, it got flushed. She had to flush it down the toilet.
Stop!
I'm gonna have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a recession.
Grant just was you.
But she didn't. She did get some hermaphrodite dollars for its DNA.
Oh, they kept the DNA. So, see, it's your Henrietta Lacks story. We come back to the
oh, Lord, no.
Protection of the client. See, I got my.
We can't even get on the bus anymore.
they take up the whole back row listening to that hip-hop grime noise they call music off their faces on MDMA and meow meow, whatever else they can get their female hands on.
Okay, this story can...
rises through the roof. We know things are bad, worse than bad, they're crazy. And all you do is sit there in your open-plan living rooms talking to absolute strangers on Facebook, and you wonder why our young sons and daughters aspire to become C-list celebrities, football players and wags. It's madness. It seems like you've given up. But I'm not going to let you give up. I want you to get mad.
Go ahead, Elena.
In this... okay.
Eyeworms.
We're back with eyeworms.
Oh, eyeworms.
Eyeworms. The woman who went to see several doctors, including the what I just read, and over for the next 20 days, 14 more worms were removed from her eye.
Stop! Oh, what? What is it, like noodles pulling out of her eye? Come on! 14 more worms were...
yes.
Oh my God, when she'd go to sleep and she'd wake up, they were like fruit flies.
Yes, Michael.
That's just poor hygiene.
The worms are...
oh my God, 14 more worms out of her eyes? How do you go on? How do you go on?
That's disgusting.
Sly and the family worms.
Stop.
But it was all okay. The worms are less than half an inch long. And we're found in the Kontinovigan.
Oh, well, that's a different thing.
Yeah, now it's totally like the...
oh, yeah, there's some small worms, the little worms. You just found some little worms.
They were found on the clear membrane that covers the white part of the eye.
Oh, my God.
So they kind of blended in. We could see why she wouldn't know. No pun intended.
With the tweezers.
Well, she just picked it out with her own hands.
Stop. She did not. She did not.
She did.
Lie.
You didn't
lie.
Catch that part of the story.
You read it
she
to me.
She pulled it out with her
verbatim.
Fingers. A week? No, it says.
She is making this up.
I am
listen
not.
To her. She went to the doctor
for 20
y'all. Days and took out 14 worms in 20 days.
That's no, the doctors worms. Did.
That's the name of the movie, 14 Worms in 20 Days. A third eye worm story.
No, I'll repeat the woman first reported feeling like there was something in her eye. A week later, she herself
pulled a
small
worm.
Clint
Eastwood would have the real third eye worm woman in the story.
Where have you been, darling, to get worms?
Who would
like
stars
that?
Her? She didn't. In some cases, doctors use an antiparasitic drug called vermicin to treat eye worms. In this woman's case, however, she didn't need a drug because her infection went away after the worms were removed, and she didn't have any more symptoms.
She went away? What does that mean, you went away?
The worms right, went away. Infection.
I'm going away.
Eye worm infections are more typically seen in older adults than young children who might be less able to keep flies away from their faces.
Why did I never hear about this before? Eye worm infections? Have you ever heard of this? Have any of you ever heard of eye worm infections?
No.
You know, when you get old, you can get eye worm infections?
They said only older.
I never heard of
we
that.
We all could be victims. Only young children are not susceptible because they have the energy. The researchers suspect the woman got the infection when she was exposed to face flies.
What? Face flies? What the hell are face flies?
Oh my God.
While horseback riding and fishing.
A face fly?
Horse flies at that? Wait a minute.
Well, it's not like a fecal fly.
Is that part of Facebook?
It's a face fly.
What the hell is a face fly?
Face
what is a face fly? You better look that up. Mike from Jersey, look up face fly.
It's called a Musca.
That's a good name for a band, too.
Autumn Lylist.
Face fly.
Well, she probably got it from the horse.
The new song from Face Fly. Go ahead, Elena. I want to know what I really do want to know what face flies are.
Face flies are while horseback riding because fishing along the coast of Oregon in a region where cattle
that
farming is common.
Did not tell me anything.
She was horseback riding, and
yeah, I get that. But what's a face fly?
It doesn't say what a face fly is.
Okay, well, don't act like that sentence told me. You're like,
well she got it because she was around a big fat cow.
All right, yeah, okay.
So if you stay away from cows, this is the point of the moral of the story.
Clearly, if she got it from the old cows only had it, she's around a cow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think stop petting that cow. Go ahead.
So Bradbury said that the case doesn't mean
14 worms.
That D. glosa is not more commonly infected than humans than before. This is almost certainly just an unfortunate random event. Branham told Science Live in an email.
Unfortunate random event. I pulled 14 worms out of my eye. And you call it.
Well, this is how he explains it. He said in an email, it's possible that T. glosa has infected people before, but it was misidentified as another species of eye worm.
Probably have worms in their eyes, they just didn't know.
People usually recover from eye worm infections after the worms are removed, but in some cases, the infection can cause scarring at the cornea and even blindness if the worms migrate across the surface of the eye.
Migrate across the surface of the eye. Well, listen, she's luckily she didn't have like crisscrossing with 14 worms going on.
Oh, no. They could have been a little colony.
A little highway on her
eye. They were lazy worms.
Damn. I don't want to know what it feels like. I don't even want to imagine. I don't want to imagine, first of all, like that rubbing your eye, like, oh, there's something in my eye. And it's like you
it's
close your eye and it's still moving. Something's still moving. And then you pull it out. Oh, my God. And then you pull out like 14 more. Holy Whoa. Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Mike, have you heard of the bot fly? Are you familiar with the bot fly?
Is that anything like a face fly?
So, all right. So this bot fly, it's from South America. So there was a story that this couple, young couple, was were vacationing Brazil. And they go back, and the guy starts experiencing a lot of headaches. And then 3 days later, he wakes up with blood on the pillow from his head. So he goes to the doctor to get a checkup.
And he's turning into a fly.
That his head is full of larvae.
Stop!
Yes.
No, his
yes.
head is full of yes. larvae!
Yes.
That's a good name for a song.
The bot fly attaches...
The latest last boyfriend.
It attaches its eggs to a regular...
But he bought me dinner.
His head is full of what? Go ahead.
It attaches its eggs to a regular mosquito. The mosquito bites you while dropping what will become larva, and they hatch.
And they hatch in your head. His head was
they
full
come out
of
your
larva.
Yes.
Wow.
They come out of your butt or your
his
head.
His head was full of larva.
Botfly, look it up.
I'm not looking that up. I'm the botfly. They got a video of the operation. I refuse.
I remember the first dance I went to.
Should we dance? Dance the night away.
Elena.
Yes.
Yes.
Is
that the rest of the story?
Yes.
You finished with the story. Thank God. Thank God there's no more. There's no more. It's like, and now everybody who eats a french fry will get eye worms.
I just want to say that I like the way that Elena said, instead of medicine, medicine.
Medicine.
The British
right,
way.
That's medicine. Is that how they say it? Is that the British way?
Yes, they said
I
medicine.
I thought that was the Elena way.
Medicine.
Elena should just have her own show. You know that, right?
I think so, too.
I think so. I know. Elena.
I'll bring my worms. You my are. Hamster.
As Byron says, it's my favorite
Who
show.
Needs you? I have my hamster.
Well, now, you've heard about the various time travelers that have been popping up over the last... They're always from, like, the year 5000. Like, why do you travel back from an even year? That's my question. Why couldn't you be from, like, 4995? But no, I'm from the year 5000. You know, it's like, why is it couldn't be, you know... Was it a thing? Was it a party thing? Hey, year 5000, we're all going to go back in time! You know?
The stars are aligned.
I don't know. Anyway, So, but I have that story, but I have some other interesting stories. I have one for you, Byron, in particular.
Yes.
I thought you would enjoy this.
But will we?
Is it spiritual in nature?
No, no. Is there such a thing as spirituality?
Most assured.
Actually,
haven't you ever had a dream? Huh?
This story is good news for you and me, Mike, from Jersey. Bad news for Elena.
Oh, no.
And
no.
Byron. Yes. Bad news for Elena and Byron. Byron.
Is this some psychedelic story about mics?
It's for Byron.
No, this is for this is for Mike from Jersey.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
This is gonna make Byron and Elena unhappy. But Mike and I are like, yeah, we do it. We knew it. You read the headline, Mike from Jersey.
Alcohol and being overweight may be good for you. Studies reveals 5 shock tips to help you live longer.
That's
right. I was wondering what the common denominator was. Right.
Oh my god.
You know what? I don't mind. As long as I can live longer. A 30-year study into the over 90s reveals that skinny elderly people die younger than those who have a little less excess weight.
Sorry, Charlie.
Why?
Sorry, Elena. Sorry,
Byron. Elderly.
Sorry,
Byron.
Sorry, Elena. Sorry.
Overweight boozers are more likely to live to a ripe old age.
I like that name for a band right there.
Overweight boozer.
Overweight boozers.
Overweight boozers. Live, almost live.
I'm alive.
According to new research that reveals 5 shock tips that could prolong your life, a 30-year study into the over 90s reveals that skinny elderly people die younger than those with little excess weight. During 15 minutes of exercise a day and drinking 2 cups of coffee also helped. Researchers polled 14,000 people aged 55 to 100 on their lifestyles, and since 2003 have been tracking around 1,600 still alive to learn their secret. People who drank modest consumption of alcohol from 1 or 2 beers or glasses of wine a week to 1 daily drink lived longer on average than people who abstained.
Yeah.
People who consumed 200 to 400 milligrams of caffeine
overweight
a day.
Boozers.
About...
Y'all need big, fat t-shirts.
2 cups of coffee also lived longer. Wait a
album,
second.
Wait.
What?
The first album is called Triple X. Triple XL.
We're still alive.
The ongoing study shows that being overweight has negative effect until 80. But after that, it gives you a 3% reduction in the chance of dying.
After 80, I can get as fat as I want.
Drink whatever I want.
The latest findings unveiled at the world's biggest science conference.
Wait until 80.
Did you say Elena's findings?
No, I'm just waiting till 80. Go hog wild.
The science conference in Austin, Texas.
In a year?
Showed that after 80, being overweight increased mortality rates by half.
Get fat and live. Hashtag.
I'm fat and old and live.
Hashtag get fat and live.
Professor Claudia Cowas, a gregarious neurologist.
The gregarious neurologist, starring Dr. Drinkwater.
From the University of California, said, as you age, your body tries to put weight on.
Get fat.
This is different to saying obesity is a good thing. But me...
Get fat.
But maybe as you get to 60 or 70, physiologically, it's a good thing to gain weight. The best mortality experience
is to gain between 5 and 10 pounds per decade.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, you got that, Glover.
Yeah. Overweight people had a 50% increase in mortality. It's not bad to be skinny when you're young, but it's very bad to be skinny when you're old.
No!
The findings of the 90-plus study did not show much benefit in taking vitamins A, E, C, or calcium for longevity. Tea had no effect, and neither did fizzy drinks. When it comes to exercise, just an average of 15 minutes per day helped. Professor Kawa said, "We found, of course, that exercise as little as 15 minutes per day gives greater longevity. 30 minutes was better. 45 was better than that. Mercifully, for couch potatoes like me, 3 hours was no better than 45 minutes. It didn't have to be 45 minutes of intense going to the gym, making your heart beat, or race. A modest walk. You exercise."
Like, you see everybody in this study is like portly. Like, we're gonna live forever. Dr. Porkman.
If you exercised in 1981, age 72, we found you were much less likely to have a fall in your 90s.
And if you fall, you bounce back. You got enough fat, you bounce right back up.
How do you fall if you don't move?
Unsurprisingly, people who drank alcohol to excess died earlier.
Hey.
Hobbies which are not considered exercise were also important. These could be anything from volunteer work to church groups or doing a crossword.
Oh, yeah. Crossword. That's the exercise.
People who spent all day doing something lived longest. Professor Kawa said, the more people outside of your own household you speak to any given month will lower your risk of dying. So, reach out to people.
That's right.
And you won't die.
Don't get fat. Can you imagine
that phone call?
Fat and friendly. Fat and friendly.
Fat and friendly.
Get fat and friendly. Live forever. Look at Santa.
The benefits was you and... The benefit was using your brain. People think using your brain is solving a puzzle. But when you are just getting out and interacting with people, you are using your brain a lot, particularly with people you are not living with.
Except for Elena.
I think you get lazy with people you are living with. The number of times people get out of the house and interact with people outside of their family, it's cognitive exercise, and I think it's no different from
cognitive
exercise.
That's a good name right there. I'm gonna put this down. Cognitive exercise.
So if I'm alone, do I buy myself a hologram and interact with
it?
That's
a hamster.
That's the solo album. Exactly, it's the hamster. Especially if it's benign. And try and get on the plane.
All I want to do is flush my hamster down the toilet.
Your Honor, can I approach the bench?
So basically, that's kind of saying just
my
stay away from your family.
My client and I would like to file another motion. We're being pushed to the back of the toilet. My hamster, you know, we are protesting. We want to protest this decision where the court is trying to dictate this storyline.
If you don't do the cognitive exercise, if you don't use it, you lose it. It's easier to keep it and harder to get it back.
This story's
she said,
all over the place.
People should try to incorporate as many of these things into their day if they wish to give themselves the best chance of living to
what,
a ripe age.
Is money platitudes into the day? Incorporate as many dime store platitudes.
With kryptonite dollars.
But adapting this healthy lifestyle does not guarantee
sure
that these extra years will be healthy
you
ones.
You get paid top nebula token.
Our data shows
DNA.
None of these lifestyle factors make any difference in the likelihood you will develop dementia.
Ah, see?
Oh my God.
You're a nutball. What's the difference? You're drunk or you're a nutball?
I just want to be fat and friendly.
That's right. Be fat and friendly. Live forever.
Or as long as you can realize you're living.
I just want to be a human cat.
The hell did I got to do with cream?
Cream? Did someone say cream?
I like green things.
Look, fat alcoholic. Danny texted me, says, I can always count on Night Shift to transform me back to the 90s. That's right.
Oh my
God.
We are
an acoustic transporter.
Okay. Hey, Danny, what's going on, man? I miss you.
Danny, it's Mike from Jersey. Danny, it's Mike from Jersey.
Good old Danny.
This is his theme. This is his new theme. I'm Mike from Jersey.
I'm wearing a
I'm fat and friendly. How could you know me?
Live forever.
Hanging up. The whole damn nation looks like we always end up.
Yeah. I'm wearing a white shirt and a black skinny tie.
Trying to make it real. But compared to what? Slaughterhouse is killing hogs. Twisted children are killing frogs. Pour down red.
Now, as good as this is, you ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is this on the DGM, by the way?
Yes, of course.
Oh, my God. What? Mike, I think people need to call. They need to call or pledge.
Make a pledge.
So we can get this amazing DGM. 6.5 hours. B-A-I buddy. How could you not take advantage of this?
We want to live longer. Call us.
Danny texted his DJ name is Fat Alcoholic. Exactly. Fat Alcoholic. They're trying to come back tour. What's the phone number here, Martin?
516-620-3602. 516-620-3602.
Make a pledge.
620-3602. Come on now. Pick up the phone. Make that call right now. We need a couple of more. We got 10 more minutes. Come on, y'all.
516-620-3602.
No, really. Is it really 249 already?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We've been just blazing the trail here.
That's so fast.
516-620-3602. Make your pledge right now. Get over 6 hours.
Mike, were we trapped in slow motion?
We were. We're
going
to compress time now.
Music.
We need buddies.
Elena.
$10. $10 and I'll be your buddy. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Pledge $35 to get over 6 hours of delectable music.
That's right.
You can
have it. I
have
some stuff in here. I threw in here remixes of stuff that you don't expect.
It's packed with the bulging music.
You get 6.5 hours. You get Elena as a buddy.
I had to bring this back.
You get giving yourself.
Do you know what this is, Mr. Mike from Jersey?
I'll be giving to you.
You don't know what it is. This is what's good. Just sit back. This is DGM, right?
Night Shift.
You have to expect the unexpected.
620.
Like a worm in your eye.
3602.
like worm a worm in your eye.
14 in mine.
Like a worm in your eye.
Leave that worm alone.
If Chris were here, he'd go. Nobody touched nothing.
Nobody's touching Fluffy's ass.
Say, so you didn't know this one, my Jersey.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah,
it sounds familiar, but I don't think I've heard it.
Yes.
Sounds like a dying Muppet in the background.
Well, how many versions of The Wall have you heard like this? Come on.
It's awesome.
Make a pledge.
Make a pledge, or you will be one of the only.
516-620-3602. Call, become a BAI buddy, get some DTM.
We want you.
Show the power of radio and the power of BAI.
What's that text?
WBAI, and the number is 41444.
I want to be a member.
I got something else for you. See if you can recognize this right away, Mick, from Jersey.
I'm feeling it. Wow.
What's the phone number here, Byron?
516-620-3602.
Get some DGM.
Six and a half hours.
6.5 hours.
No boyfriend will do that for you.
Ah. This is for Byron.
Early in the morning.
He needs to be fat and friendly.
And as soon as the show is over, I'm going to take my DGM home, and I'm going to do 6.5 hours straight.
Do you know what this is, Byron?
I'm enjoying it. Who is this? Yes. Oh, my, Michael Jackson. Yes. Very nice. I like this version.
DGM.
Yes.
As he came into the window was the sound of a crescendo. He came into her apartment, left the bloodstains. As she ran underneath the table, he could see she was unable, so she ran into the bedroom, struck down. Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie?
You like it, Byron?
Totally DG.
You at DG.
My goodness.
Gonna give you something you don't expect.
Oh my God.
Mike and Jersey, you with it?
Yeah, I'm really into it.
What about you, Elena?
I'm grooving.
Elena's grooving?
Grooving.
All right, I have a last story for you, Elena. Really?
Yeah.
Let me have the thing there, Mike and Jersey.
Yes.
This is worthy of the humming that you hear.
The humming that you hear
is for you to make that
hearing
pledge.
Hearing you.
Yes. Make that pledge.
That's right.
Byron, one more time with that number.
516.
Fat and friendly.
620-3602.
Mike from Jersey, give me that text.
WBAI 41444.
Oh, you gentlemen, just do text it for me. Over and over and over again.
516-620-3602.
By the way, two things I want to say before I go. I will be at the Museum of the Moving Image next Saturday. It's part of an Afrofuturism panel and a screening of a Nigerian science fiction film called Crumbs. So that's on Saturday. Also, did you know that there's such a thing as Trump dating? Now there's a Trump dating site. Did you know that?
Oh, my God.
Have you seen the Trump doll?
No, Wolf, come on. But that's not a surprise. But Trump dating? Come on, Elena, are you on there? Because I'm going to register.
Barbie is doing a Tomb Raider doll.
I want to use your photo.
That's insane.
Did you know about this, Mike? Tomb Raider Barbie.
Tomb Raider Barbie? Well, yes. That makes sense. They got to latch onto something.
In the meantime, I want to say a big shout out to the kids of Florida who are stepping up to the plate.
Yes.
Calling it out.
Yes.
For what it has to be.
Did you hear about the three billboards thing that they did?
Yes.
Yes, I thought that was great.
So, I mean, it's about time. There's a simple solution, like,
Yeah, these kids are amazing.
It really is.
They don't have to tolerate it. They don't want to tolerate it. They're going to do something about it.
It's obvious to everybody what the solution is, but
no, it's not.
Come on, Byron.
No, it's really not. Because there's a manner in which you can actually make it beneficial.
All the people that are going to turn 18.
We only have 3 minutes, Byron.
Before those midterms, and then the next 3 years, we're going to get rid of all these bad things.
Make a call.
I think it's enough.
516-620-3602, and please become a WBAI bunny. During the show,
a bunny, whatever.
Okay, you can go to give2wbai.org. Okay, and you can go and right up in the upper left corner, you can see there's a click on it, become WBAI. But it means that you're giving every month, you commit for a year, and like I said, you can do this for as little as $10 a month. Literally, it's like a tiny luxury tax. It's like one of those things that they embed in your phone bill or your cable bill or your internet bill that you don't even know what it is. So do it, because it means a lot to us. If we got enough of those, we would never even have to sit here and have marathons. We would just
not that we don't enjoy
a sustaining thing.
We love this music.
So anyway, I just want to say that Byron Saunders, I've enjoyed you being here.
It's been a pleasure to be back.
It is always a
live
pleasure.
Live in living color.
And Mike from Jersey?
Yes.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I did. Thank you very much.
Wait, Danny said something. What did Danny say?
We'll talk
about Elena is a BAI bunny sounds better. That's what
I am your bunny, Danny.
Danny has his mind in the gutter.
Why is gutter? Why Elena as a bunny is a gutter thing?
Okay.
Huh?
All right.
Why Elena as a bunny is a gutter thing?
But I will be a gutter bunny, too.
Gutter bunny.
Gutter bunny. I love it.
All right, I got one more here for you, Mike from Jersey.
Bring it. Yeah, Black Panther was a pretty great film. I know we keep coming back to it, but man.
Did you see Mufasa? Did you see Forrest Whitaker's character as Mufasa?
Oh, yes. All right,
do you know this? Did I play this one even before?
Okay, see, you're saying the symbolisms that are there, okay? Because it's very obvious.
Mike from Jersey.
Yes.
Do you know what this is?
I don't think so.